growl. I love you so much, man. I tell you, he and I are like two peas in a pod. And so, praise God. Hey, folks, I've been going through, of course, you know, the Old Testament. We're in Judges. I've been wrestling with Samson. Amen. Just reading, I've read this story, these few chapters about Samson over and over and over and over and over since I knew I had to teach about it. And man, I tell you, praise God. God's ways are not my ways. Amen. His thoughts are above my thoughts. And it's good that I don't have to know everything. Isn't that a blessing? That you don't have to know everything. All you got to know is what God said and believe it. Amen. You just got to know the Word of God and apply it in your life. And Samson's just a broken vessel. The more I look at him, the more that's all he is. He's a broken vessel. And I am so proud and pleased that God uses crackpots. Amen. He uses broken people. He uses folks who think that they know more. Amen. And he still uses them. And so, as you know, Samson, his parents his mother was barren. She didn't have a way to give children. God said, I'm going to bless you with a child. And this is going to be a particular child. I want you to take, lady, I want you to take the vow of a Nazarene and drink no grape juice, eat no grapes, have no strong drink, don't touch any dead animals, nothing like that. Because the child that's inside of you is going to be raised up for a special event. And that's going to be to help the Israelites defeat the Philistines in due time. And so she had some things that she had to do. And as she brought up this young man, and he became a man, I'm sure that he knew the story. And he kind of, if the Lord told you that your child was special, wouldn't you treat him kind of special? This is just me ad-libbing here. So I imagine as he was growing up, they kind of treated him special. You know, I would imagine. And he had some great anointing on him. When he finally got old enough to be married, instead of having a bride of the Israelite people, a good Jewish girl, you need to find you a good Jewish girl. Instead of that, he went down to the Philistines and he found him a girlfriend, a woman that pleased him. And he came back and said, hey, Dad, I want this girl. I want this girl more than I want anything. Can you? Well, you go get her. Will you go get her for me, Dad? And Dad said, no, I won't do it. But Samson pressed him. Listen, come on, Dad, go get her. I want her. I want her now. And so Dad gave in. And as I was speaking last week, as I was coming across that, I said, man, this was just, his dad should have stood the ground, right? And then I read the next verse, and this was the plan of God. There, at that time, there was no great dispute between the Philistines and the Israelites. There was no great war that was going on. Just the Philistines were ruling over them. They were subservient to the Philistine people. And God wanted to break this. And so what he had to do, he put a desire in Samson's heart to go down and take this woman to be his bride. And as he went and he took her down, and on the way, you know, a lion jumped out to kill him. Roar! And Samson said, you're kidding me, right, kitty? Bam! And he ripped the cat apart. Right? And he tore it up and threw it into bushes. Well, a couple days later, some honey bees went and they made a nest on the inside of it. And so Samson, he went and he got some of the honey. As you know from the Nazarite vow that we went over from Leviticus last week, Nazarite's not supposed to touch anything dead. So this is going through my mind. You know, wow. He's a Nazarite, not supposed to be touching anything dead. He's ate some honey. And then when he's getting married and he made a wager. Christians ain't supposed to gamble either, right? And so he made a wager with these Philistines. He says, if you can guess this riddle, then, you know, we'll put a bet up for 30 pieces, 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothes, right? 30 is 60 changes of stuff. And so, and this is, y'all ladies, y'all picked on me real hard, talked about my, as I said this last week. So anyhow, his wife pressed him for 7 days. He gave in to it, and he told his wife about the riddle, the answer to it. And then she told the guys of her village about it. And then Samson got angry because he said, if you hadn't been plowing with my heifer, right, you would have never guessed the answer, right? I see you ladies are smiling still about that. And so anyhow, so he had to come up with 30 changes of clothes. Right, so what did he do? He went over to Ashken, I think, and he murdered 30 people and took their clothes. All right, I'm having a hard time with that. I really am. And that's not the end of the story. We got this next chapter coming up, chapter 15. That was last week's story bleeding into this week's story. Amen? And so in this week, in chapter 15, let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on His Word. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You move in people's lives, that You are true to Your Word, that You see things that we don't see. And Lord, I thank You and I praise You for that. And Father, I come before You even tonight as I'm preparing to speak these words, to go through Your Scripture. I pray for a special anointing, Lord, to take these matters and help me to reflect them into the New Testament church. Father, if it's possible, I just ask that we would be able to glean things from them that would bring You glory. And we thank You and we praise You for those things. We ask that in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. And so, let's back up to verse 19 of chapter 14. Okay. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon... Well, I guess I need to go back up to 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, that it was what was sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion. And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went over to Ashton, and he slew 30 men and took of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. All right, so in this picture you see here, Samson's wife just got given away by her dad. All right, now that would make me a little angry, right? You're newlywed, right? You just got in this fight with some folks, but you went away for a little while, and all of a sudden your wife is given away to another man, your best man. Amen? And so in chapter 15, this is where it happens. And it comes to pass, within a while after the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, with a little offering, a small goat. And he said, I will go into my wife and into her chamber. But her father would suffer him not to go in. And her father said, verily, I thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy champion, to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her and pray thee. Go inside of her. All right. So, all right. Yeah, wait a second. Dad, I don't understand the customs there. In America, that would be like way wrong. Well, I gave away your bride. So go ahead, take her sister. Hey, she's cute, you know. Hey, she's cute. Go ahead, take her. But see, this is where I'm wrestling with that, because I live in the 20th century, almost the 20, or is it 21st century now? I live today, right? And so anyhow, and in verse 3, and Samson concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went out, and he caught 300 foxes. First of all, catching a fox is a hard thing. Have you ever tried to catch a fox? They call them fox because they're hard to catch, right? Yeah, it's hard to catch a fox. He caught 300 foxes. All right, he caught 300 foxes and took firebrands, little torches, and he and turned tail to tail, and put firebrands in the midst between their tails. All right, catch this. So there's 150 pairs of foxes. All right, 300, half tied tail to tail with a torch in between each fox. So they're tied like this, right? And they have a torch in between their tails. I don't know if you ever tied cat's tails together. Okay, I'm not talking about the bush. I'm talking about the four-legged kind of cat. Not that I suggest that you do that. But if you do that, you'll find out that they run all kind of crazy. You know, they don't go in a straight line. They go like this, right? And they run all over the place. And so anyhow, he did this to these foxes, tied their tails together, put fire in between them. So they're panicking. Their tails are tied together. There's fire. Oh, my tail's on fire. And they are really panicking foxes. They're not in a calm mood at all. And he went and set the brands on fire, and he let them go in the standing corn of the Philistines. All right. I don't know if you've noticed here, but there's a certain time of year that all the corn is dry. Okay, if he would have done it to green corn, big deal, right? Wouldn't have mattered. But this is after the wheat harvest, so things, as I know the farmer that's setting up here, after the wheat harvest comes the corn harvest. So the stalks are dry, everything's dry up there. He has 150 foxes he just turned loose in all of their fields. Steve, how would that make you feel? Shoot him. I would find that dog and I'd take care of him. And so he lets these foxes go in the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the stalks and the standing corn and the vineyards and the olives. So not only did he destroy the corn crop, he destroyed the olive trees. He also destroyed the vineyards of the Philistines. You know, that would make some people mad. You know, a vineyard takes years to grow. You don't just plant a grape and it pops up next year. It takes a long time to make grapes. And it takes a longer time to make olives. An olive tree may take up to 10 years before it starts developing olives. And so they had some time and some labor in this. And the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite. Because he had taken his wife and given her his companion. And the Philistines came up and it burnt her and her father with fire." Now, remember why she turned Samson in the first place? Because her fellow villagers right there said, "If you don't tell us the answer to this, we're going to burn your father with fire." And so she turned in Samson. And then that caused this whole thing to start happening. And ended up that she got burned with fire anyhow. Amen. And so anyhow, that's just a thought. "And Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet I will avenge of you, and after that I will cease." Well, that's good. You know, he says, "Hey, I'm just going to, since you did this, I'm just going to beat you up one time. I ain't going to hurt it for long. I'm just going to do this and I'm going to cease." All right, there's an end to it. "And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter." I had to look that up, hip and thigh slaughter. What's that mean? And I couldn't, there's a lot of different folks, say a lot of different things, so you got to go back to the good commentaries. I went to Matthew Pooley. He's the one that I go to. He was written way back in the early 1800s. And so he hasn't been perverted by the modern teachings of certain people. And the hip and thigh slaughter by Matthew Pooley, he's not kicking them, but he made the enemy unable to fight, rendering them incapable. Okay, and so the literal translation of this, it says, "He smote them with his legs upon their thigh without any other weapon." So, all right, you got all these guys that are coming up. He took his leg and he would kick them in the thigh. He would kick them in the thigh so hard that they couldn't fight no more. He kicked them in the thigh and what's this bone that goes right here? Femur. So he kicked them in the thigh hard enough that they would never be able to be a warrior again. If you had a horse, right, that you needed to take out of battle, you'd have to hamstring them. You cut their hamstrings, they'd never be able to go into battle because they couldn't fight well. These soldiers that were coming up against Samson, these folks, he kicked them in the thigh so hard, you know, the hip and the thigh so hard that they'd never go into battle again. So he had to have kicked, well, we're going to see how strong the guy is here in just a minute. But he kicked them so hard that they didn't go into battle again, that they were rendered incapable of combat. No, so he slaughtered them with a great slaughter, hip and thigh. And so that's the best definition that I got out of that from Matthew Pooley. And Pooley also says, "And without any other weapon, but with his legs and his feet, he kicked them and made them lame and useless for war." All right, and then after that happened, he went down and he dwelt on the top of a rock at Edom. All right, and the reason that he did this is he didn't go back to his hometown. He didn't go anywhere. He kind of withdrew himself, and then he went up to a mountain on top of a rock. Listen, if you just beat up a whole bunch of Philistines, all right, you know that they're going to be coming for you. You know that they're going to send out the posse here in just a minute. So you want to go somewhere where your family is not going to be in danger. He didn't go back to his father's house so his father wouldn't be attacked. He didn't go back to his personal village. He had enough love and compassion for the Israelites. I'm going to separate myself and I'm going to go up to Edom. And I'm going to sit up there and I'm going to wait. I looked it up on the internet. It's just a high peak, you know, and you could see the valley for a long way. So you could see anybody coming up. Kind of like the cowboy and Indian movies, John Wayne, you know, they'd go up to those plateaus and they'd wait for him. You know, I see you coming over there, over on the ridge and stuff, and they'd shoot them with their Winchesters coming up, right? And so anyhow, that's where he was, that's what he was doing. And then the Philistines, they went and they pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Leah. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And remember when it says that a group of people come to pitch against another place, we've seen it in Judges several times, where the Midianites, they came and they pitched tents against Israel. That means they're preparing for war. And so they got their battle array down and they're coming up against Judah in their battle array. And they pitched against Judah and spread themselves in Leah. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up to doom to him as he has done to us. And sometimes it's just best to let things rest, right? Because Samson said, I've done to y'all I'm going to do now. Y'all go mind your own business. Go back to your corner. I'll go back to mine. But the Philistines, they wouldn't do that. They had been insulted. They're going to go and make things right in their eyes. And then 300 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock of Etam, and said to Samson, knowest thou that the Philistines rule over us? And what is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as thou hast done unto me, I have done unto them. In other words, Samson said, they started it, you know, hey, if they hadn't have been plowing with my heifer to start with it, this never would have happened. Right? If they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have got 300 foxes and set their fields on fire. If they hadn't have started it, it would have been over by now. But, so, that's the blame game, right? You started it. How many got in fights with their families and friends saying, you started it, right? All of us did. If you have a brother or sister, you know what I'm talking about. Verse 12, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. So Samson said, listen, guys, I'll let you tie me up. I'll let you deliver me over to the hands of the Philistines. Just you guys, my brothers, don't you fight against me. I won't struggle with this. I won't do anything to stop you. Go ahead, tie me up. Tie me up. Use the best rope you got. And they said, hey, Samson, we're going to use new cords on you. We're going to tie you, and we're going to tie you tight. All right, go ahead and make my day, right? And so, you can do this to me. And so he said, do it. And they took him, verse 13, and they took him saying, no, but we will bind thee fast. In other words, we're going to tie you up tight, and we will deliver you into their hands. But surely we will not kill you. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him from the rock. And when he had come into Leah, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him, and the cords were upon his arms became as flax, as burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. Wow. All right, so the Jews, they tied him up really good. See, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and I don't know, have you ever broken a thread? Pretty easy to break, right? Have you ever broken some paracord? You can't do it. I mean, you can take paracord and you can pull cars with it. This here is well-bound, brand new rope. They probably use something like hemp rope. Have you ever seen a hemp rope? Okay, just the regular brown cord rope. Have you ever tried to break some of it? I can't do it. In fact, I got you've seen that big old yellow piece of rope, braided rope I have at the house for towing. I can tow diesel trucks with this thing, you know. And so he was tied with something like that, and he says, here it comes. A little bit, pop, 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 you know, Pie the Sailor Man. He put up his, like that, and it fell off like it was burnt flax, like there was nothing to it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was able to do that. And then he found a new jawbone of an ass, a donkey's jaw. Now, not an old one, a new one. All right. how many places you go around and find new jawbones of donkeys laying around. You know, I'm going to the hardware store. What you getting? Oh, new jawbone. I need a new jawbone today. Anyhow, the Lord allowed him to find one, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 men therein. Now, you've seen the pictures in your storybooks and stuff of Samson backed up into a corner, and he's just pounding people with the jawbone of a donkey, right? And I don't know if it was that. It doesn't say that he was up against a rock. It says that he was there, surrounded by Philistines, right? 1,000 men, and he found... a jawbone of a donkey. I believe if he would have reached down and picked up a switch, he would have been able to beat him to death with a switch, because the Spirit of the Lord had landed on him. So it didn't matter what the weapon was the Holy Spirit of God. As I'm reading these things, and again, he's a Nazarite. He's not supposed to touch anything dead, right? That's part of the Nazarite vow. You don't touch no dead thing. Right? And so he grabs his jawbone of a freshly murdered donkey, you know, or killed ass. Right there. Hee-haw. Killing the Democrats. And so anyhow, he picked up this jawbone of a donkey and started swinging it and killing. He killed 1,000 men there with the jawbone of a donkey. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. All right. Kind of braggadocious, isn't he?
Well, look, heaps upon heaps.
And well, he's telling the truth. Have you ever seen 1,000 men? 1,000 men is more than just a few, right? That's like half the size of Caledonia. All right? That's half the size of everybody who lives here. I think there's a little over 2,000 people live in the Caledonia area, maybe three. But 1,000 men, warriors. We're not talking a little bitty boys. We're talking full-grown warrior men, Philistines, able to defeat other armies. And he stood there with the power of the Holy Ghost on him, with nothing but a jawbone of a donkey and some burnt rope. Right? Doesn't say use a rope for nothing, but it says that he was bound, so it fell to the ground there. And he slew 1,000 men with him. Verse 17, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called the place Ramaleth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst. Ramaleth-Lehi, verse 17. Get down there. Jawbone Heights. Hey, wow, sounds like a housing area, doesn't it? Hey, I live in Jawbone Heights. Or I died in Jawbone Heights. And so, Ramaleth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst. And he was really thirsty, and he called on the Lord. And see, I got to remember this verse right here, because I've said several times incorrectly that Samson never prayed until the time that he was bound up and blinded in the altar there, and he was tied to the post, right? And I said, well, Samson never prayed until then. Well, he prayed right here, all right? He had just had this great slaughter, and he was thirsty. I imagine killing 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, you might get a little thirsty. You know, might be a little parched there. And so he is thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord and said, thou hast given me a great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst? Come on. Really. You just ask for a drink of water. It would be fine. You ain't got to whine about it. Just, hey, give me a drink, God. So anyhow, he whines to the Lord about it. Says, you're going to kill me because I'm thirst. And the head of fallen to the hand of the uncircumcised. And God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And he did drink, and he had drink, and his spirit came again, and he was revived. Wherefore he called the place El Hakkor, which is in Leah unto this day. And he judged Israel the days of the Philistines for 20 years. And so you see this picture here, this great slaughter. And see, even though he was under the vow of the Nazarene, God said, all right, the same jawbone that you just killed 1,000 men with. You're a Levite, not a Levite, you're a Nazarene. You're not supposed to touch anything dead. You just stood in your 1,000 men stack up pretty high. All right, so he had to touch a lot of dead folks. Right? And then God says, take that same jawbone, that jawbone of the donkey that you just used to murder those guys. I'm going to show you a hollow place in it. You can get a drink. Yeah, man, what a good God we serve. God uses cracked pots. You know, God uses folks that are imperfect. God uses you. If you will walk in the obedience of Him, He will use you. Now remember, this is a judge, right? He's a judge of Israel. He had a special anointing on him before he was born. And God allowed him, gave him supernatural strength that he was able to fight and not fight backing away. He charged into it. He willfully gave himself into the hand of the enemy to put him in the midst. He was a lamb among wolves, but he was disguised. So he started whooping on some wolves, that little lamb. And so, anyhow, verse chapter 16. Then Samson went to Gaza, and there a harlot, and he went into her. So, again, he went and found him a woman, you know, went and found a girlfriend, a harlot girlfriend, and he went into her. And it was told that the Gazanites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we're going to kill him. We shall kill him. And Samson laid till midnight, and he arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city and the post, and he went away with them, bars and all, and put them upon his shoulder, and he carried them to the top of the hill, that is before Hebron. Now, some of us who have messed with cattle and stuff, Roberto, you probably know this. One of those cattle gates is kind of heavy, ain't it? You know, you just ain't going to walk up and pick it up. And that's just a cattle gate that comes to a man's chest. These gates were as tall as the wall, okay? And it was very possible. A great picture just came to my mind. Robin Hood. Y'all remember the movie Robin Hood? Right? You remember when he came to the door of the castle and they would open it, right? And so this huge hunks of wood, 12, 13, 14 foot tall, right? And that's what the gates were. So the gate would be closed like this and then locked in place. And so Samson, and I like to think of him about the size of Barney Fife. And so Samson, he walks up. And that makes you giggle, doesn't it? Barney Fife. That gives all the more glory to God. And so Samson's arrest. And so he walks up there to these gates, and he picks them up. The post and all. Now, these posts had to be buried 20, 30 feet into the ground. He says, who here ever has tried to pluck a post out of the ground? Even when these little skinny ones that the chain link fence go on? Yeah, dude, it's a wrestle. You got to fight and pull and push. And yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. So Samson, he's of no small character, right? He is of no small strength. So he walks up to these gates and he pulls them up, not just the gates, but the post there that came out with them. He didn't take the hinge pins out and just walk away with the door. He pulled the out from the roots and brought it right out. Then threw them on his shoulders and he walked up to the top of the hill. I don't know if you have ever toted a load uphill. Have you ever, you know? I've done it a couple times, nothing this heavy, all right? I was a floor installer for years, right? And so I would have to tote loads of carpet up and down stairs. You put a couple hundred pounds on your back and you walk up and down the stairs a few times, take your breath away, right? Dragging a deer out of the woods where I hunt, right? And so you drag them out from there and you go all the way up to where your truck is, a couple few hundred yards, you're burnt, you're spent. Right, you've done all that you can do for the day. Time to go home and relax, take a shower and forget it. Now, he took these doors, which may have weighed hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 pounds or more, and he took these doors, walked up to the top of the hill. Nothing to it. Just another day in the country, a stroll in the park. And he walks up there. So what a mighty, powerful God we serve. And he did it in the middle of the night after spending a good time with a harlot. You know, so it is down a little bit of strength anyhow, right? So, anyhow, and it came to pass afterward that he fell in love with the harlot, okay? He fell in love with her in the valley of Shork, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and and we will give thee, excuse me, every one of us 700 pieces of silver. Okay, so they put a bounty on his head. And, you know, nothing will turn a harlot's head like a pretty ring, right? Nothing will turn a harlot's head like a pocket full of money. So this Delilah, she's enticed with 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot, and each man was going to give her that. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and whether thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." So she ain't even trying to hide it here, okay? She says, "Listen, Samson, tell me what's going to tie you up. Tell me what's going to take away your strength so I can have my buddies come beat you up." Okay? All right, now, she ain't even trying to hide it. She says, "Listen, Sam, these guys offer me a lot of money here. Tell me what's going to make you weak." All right, Samson giggles in himself and says unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green switches, I guess, that were never hardened, then shall I be weak as another man." All right, so he's a liar to boot. And the lords of the Philistines brought to her 7 green whits, which had not been dried. And she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." And he broke the whits as a thread of tow is broken, and when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. So these guys are just waiting in the closet. All right, they were with her. I don't know where it says that they were in the room with her there. And so, come on. I mean, can you get the picture there? In my mind, I lived in New Orleans for a while, so I know what a harlot is, and I know where they bring you. All right, and so anyhow, she does this thing, and she tries to get him to tell her, and says, "If you do this thing, tie me up with the green switch." Green switch, okay? "Tie me up with this green cord that's never been hardened, and, you know, it'll be easy. You know, everyone can whip me. You'll beat me up if you do that." So he has to let her do that, okay? He says, "All right, go ahead. Tie me up." So, and these guys are waiting in the closet. They're in the same chamber. They're in the same place, hiding on the bed. I don't know what they're doing while they're doing what they're doing, but they were close by. All right, and so he does it, but he breaks them like there was nothing. And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me. You told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein is your that thou mightest be bound?" And he said unto her, "If you bind me fast with new robes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man." And therefore Delilah took some new robes, and he bound him, and said unto him, "That the Philistines be upon thee." And Samson, and there were layers and waiting, wait abiding in the chamber. And he broke them off of his arms like a thread. So again, she says, "Come on, do it." And he's just popping these things. "Hey, you can't hold him." And she does it again. How stupid is Samson? Hey, come on, just get this across your mind. Once, twice, three times. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and you've told me lies. Tell me wherein thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If you wavest 7 locks of my head in a web." And she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee." And and he awoke out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. In other words, y'all know what a weaver's beam is, or a weaver's thing, you know, where you got the loom, right? And then the weaver's beam across it. So he was asleep. She took his hair and she put it in this weaver's beam and she made a blanket out of it. Right? Really, that's what she did. His hair was tied up in this weaver's beam. And then she said, "Da-da-da-da, the enemy's here." And he says, "Okay." And he stands up. And he takes the whole loom with him. Right? The whole thing. He takes the whole beam, the whole loom with him, all at the same time. Wow. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee with thine heart is when thine heart is not with me? Okay, come on, Samson. This just lets you know guys are really weak when it comes to women. I don't know if you men, have you ever noticed that? You want to see me in my weakest form? Put me in front of a crying gal. I tell you what, I come butter, you know? What? Come on, what can I do to stop this from happening, right? And so Samson had a weakness. It was girls, you know? Guys, we got weaknesses. Normally it's girls. I don't care how strong you are anywhere else. You see a girl in trouble or a girl that's that you're interested in, your girlfriend, and she wants to make you do something. You got to do is whine a little bit. Amen? She starts whining a little bit. Guys are stupid, right? And you'll give away all your strength, all your secrets. You'll anything. And so, but Delilah is getting tired of this. She's saying, you're mocking me. You're lying to me. How can you say that you love me? Well, wait a second. How can you say you love a harlot? You know, I mean, this is her trade. It's like an actor telling the truth. Actors don't tell the truth. They're actors. They're paid to lie, right? John Wayne didn't kill all those Indians. He shot blanks all the time. He didn't shoot anybody, right? And so, but every week he's out there shooting Indians. And no, he wasn't. He was an actor, right? He wasn't even alive when the cowboys and Indians were out there. There wasn't TV then. So anyhow. So she's an actor. She's a press professional. She's a harlot. She's a prostitute. She does this for a living. And she's whining to him. How can you say that you love me, that your heart is with me, when you mock me these three times, and thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth? And it came to pass that she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Talk about a whiny, squeaking woman. I tell you, they'll vex you unto death, right? And so anyhow, Samson was here. But the thing is, he shouldn't have been here to start with, right? He shouldn't have been with a harlot. He shouldn't have been with a Philistine. But God, see, that's why I'm saying this is a hard book for me, because he's doing some things that if you study the Word of God, you ought not be there anyhow. But Samson was, and this is all ordained by God. I don't get it. And I'm being honest with you. I don't get it, but this is the way that the story goes. And he told her with all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her with all his heart, she sent and he called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me with all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistine came up unto her and brought her money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. In other words, she's sitting down rubbing his gold locks or brownie locks or whatever. His Hebrews is probably dark hair, rubbing his head and stuff, and he just fell right to sleep on her lap. And she called for the men, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And he began, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said that the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He knew not, wist, all right? He knew not that the Lord had departed from him. That's a scary thing, folks, that the Lord will work you. He'll use you. He'll use you. He'll use you. Even if you're a broken pot, well, there'll come a time when the Holy Spirit will leave you. There'll come a time you sin, you sin, you sin, you sin. You give up the secrets. You give up your strength. You give it up. You give it up. You give it up. There will come a time that God says, all right, enough is enough. See, truly, his strength wasn't in his locks. His strength was in the Holy Spirit. All right? His strength, the Spirit of the Lord laid upon him, and he was able to do these things. The Spirit of God was on him. It wasn't the ropes that would bind him. It wasn't the other things. But he said, I was a Nazarite. He finally confessed who he really was. He was a Nazarite. He was set apart. A razor was never supposed to cut his hair, so he had his dreadlocks. His locks, seven of them. Kind of looks weird, I think. But anyhow, he had seven locks on his head. He had his hair up. And then she cut it off. And when she cut it off, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and he didn't even know it. I'm afraid for the church in America because often I think that's happening. It tells us in the book of Revelation that if the church didn't repent, the Lord would remove their lampstand. He would remove the light. He would remove the power from the body of Christ. He would remove His Spirit. They would still gather. They would still be. He didn't change His outward appearance. The church didn't change their outward appearance, but their authority in Christ was gone. His power in Christ was gone. And so when that happened, the Philistines took him and they poked out his eyes and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow, and again after he was shaven. And the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And the people saw him, and they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they had got good and drunk at this party, and they called for Samson, and he to make sport of him, to pick on him, to throw things at him, you know. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and they made sport of him, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that led him by the hand, "Suffer me that I might fill the pillars upon the house, standing, that I might lean upon them." And the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there. And there, and they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women, and that beheld Samson and made sport. And Samson called upon the Lord. Good news, church. If you repent and you call upon the Lord one more time, you call upon God one more time. Have you failed? Amen. Are you a crackpot? Amen. Have you been doing things outside of the will of God, outside of the grace of God, and you feel like the power of God has left you? If you are, I got good news for you. You can call on Jesus Christ one more time. You can call on Him. You can ask Him for that power. You can ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can repent from your sin and come back to Jesus. This is what Samson did. He called on the Lord. This is only the second time that it's recorded that he calls on the Lord. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes." And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of one with his right hand and one with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself, and with all of his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which were slain at his death were more than which were slain in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down, and they took him, and they brought him up, and they buried him between Zephirah and Eshtaol, and in the burying place of Menorah of his father. And he judged Israel for 20 years. Amen. Amen. We'll get into another judge next week. Amen. So praise God. That's the story of Samson. That's the message, I guess, we can take out of it. If we, the people, are sinning, God still loves you. God still wants you. There will come a time that you're going to reap what you sow. Samson died blind. Amen? He gave his strength away to the enemy. Often us as people of Christ, we give our strength away to the enemy. We go to the places we're not supposed to. We do the things that we're not supposed to do. Be careful, because when the Spirit of the Lord leaves you, you might not even know it. Several places in the Bible where it says that the Spirit of God left him and he didn't know it. Saul, the first king, the Spirit of the Lord left him and he didn't even know it was. He was gone. It's not an if. The Spirit of the Lord is He. He was on Samson. When he finally did enough sinning and he gave away the secrets, the Spirit of the Lord moved off of him and he didn't even know it was gone until he was up. Saul didn't repent. He died in his sin. Samson repented and he died in a great victory. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace, for the love that you've given us and for the opportunity that you have for us to walk in your righteousness and goodness. Father, I pray just for one more time. Give us one more time to walk in your love. Give us one more time to stand in your righteousness. Father, help us to repent and come before you just one more time, Father. And I thank you for that, and I praise you for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to try this guitar thingy. I know it won't work with my stuff on. So I got to tell you, I'm more nervous about that. I'm a much easier preacher. I'm a guitar picker. Amen. And so pray for me. Pray for y'all, I guess, really, too. Working on several different songs here, but Come Ye Sinners is this song. And it's going to sound different than anything you've ever heard before, probably. I like that. Smile at me. Dear Father, I love you. And so, there comes a time that all of us have to come up to a place in our life, and we've got to come to Jesus Christ, right? We've got to come to that place and go to Jesus. You know, He's already given it all for us, but we've got to make up our mind to honor Him. And there was a time in my life, and I'm sure it was a time in your life, when you said this very same thing. I will rise and go to Jesus. He'll embrace me in His arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, their heart 10,000 charms. So come on, ye sinners, come the poor and the needy, the weak and the wounded, the sick and sore. 'Cause Jesus, He's ready, He'll stand, He'll save you. He's full of pity, love, and power. So rise on up and go to Jesus. He'll embrace you in His arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, well, you'll find 10,000 charms. So come on, ye thirsty, come the poor, you're welcome. It's God's free bounty glorified. The true believer and the truly repentant, with every grace He'll draw you nigh. So rise on up and go to Jesus. He'll embrace you in His arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, you'll find 10,000 charms. But let not your conscience make you linger, nor your fitness and folly dreams. 'Cause all the fitness that God requires
Rise on up and get to Jesus. He'll embrace you in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, you'll find 10,000 charms. Come on, ye weary and the heavy laden, the lost and the ruined by the fall. If you tarry until you're better, well, you will never come at all. So rise on up and go to Jesus. He'll embrace you in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, so come on, ye sinners, all you poor and needy, all the weak and the wounded, and the sick, the sore. Jesus, he's ready, he stands, he'll save you. He's full of pity, love, and power. That's it.
Like I said, it's different when you read it in a book, you know, but I don't know how to read music. So anyhow.
So praise God. Oh, praise God. Let's live this time before the Lord and give him glory. Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your love that you've given us, and we pray for those for us to be witnesses for you, to remind people that you are a Savior that stands to save, that you're full of pity, love, and power. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you for those things. In Jesus' marvelous name, amen.